Amen. How many is glad to be back in the house of the Lord, man? I haven't preached to a crowd in a long time. It's been 10 weeks of preaching to the camera, and so I need you to say some big amens today, okay? I need some big amens out of you. I need some clapping of the hands or shouting or something, but I want you to talk back to me today. Can you do that? All right, you know how it is. Okay, so talk back to me today. Let me know you're here. I'm excited you're here. And all those watching online today, we're so glad to have you as well. And we look forward to ministering to you. How many are tired of this COVID stuff? Are you tired of being locked up? COVID? I saw a couple of things I thought to kind of just sum up this whole time of COVID-19 isolation. I saw this tweet the other day. And see what you think about this tweet here. It says, day one, I have stocked up on enough non-perishable food and supplies to last me for months, maybe even years, so that I can remain in isolation for as long as it takes to see out this pandemic. Day one, 45 minutes, I'm at the supermarket because I wanted the Twix. Yeah. I mean, did you notice the other day? I saw this the other day. I thought it was really funny. Everybody's wanting to get rid of plastic straws, but now they want plastic gloves. Okay, let's talk about this. That's another thing. This other just when I saw this, you know, hello? Is it me you're looking for? We spent a month looking for toilet paper. Praise God, we finally got some. Let's look at this last one here. It kind of explains the COVID-19. The buttons of my jeans have started social distancing from each other. Anybody relate to that? I think for the COVID-19 stands for the extra 19 pounds I put on in isolation. We're going to get through it, right? I heard people say things like, man, I want to go back to the way things used to be. And I say, don't go back. Come on, let's don't go back to the way things used to be. We can't go back. That was the same mentality that the children of Israel had. When they left Pharaoh, they got out. Let's go back. No, let's don't go back. Let's go forward. How about that? We're going forward. But have you ever been in a place where you feel like, I can't go back, I can't go forward, I'm kind of just stuck? You ever felt that way? There's a biblical definition for that. And the biblical definition we have for that is the word valley. The word valley. And today I want to talk to you about that thought. I want you to rise up out of the valley. Rise out of the valley. And I believe, you know, today that God is wanting us to rise up out of the valley. He doesn't want us to go back to the way things used to be, and he wants us to go forward. And sometimes we feel like we're stuck in this valley time. And I want you to know, the valley is where the blessing is at. If you don't know that, I'm going to prove it to you today. I'm going to show it to you today. The valley is where the blessing is at. And so I want you to really think about how you're walking through the valley. See, look at this statement. We will either go through the valley or we will grow through the valley. We will go through the valley or we will grow through the valley. The choice is yours. I don't just want to go through the valley. I want to grow through the valley. Now, everybody loves walking on the mountaintop, don't we? We all love it when things are great. But I want you to know that there's something to be had. There's something that God wants to do when we walk through the valley. See, oftentimes you can learn more through a short season in the valley than a long season on the mountaintop. Let me say it to you another way. Sometimes we get on the mountaintop and we get knocked down really fast because we didn't learn anything in the valley. So it's important that we learn some things through the valley so that when we walk on the mountaintop, that our view is not changed. We're able to maintain, we're able to grow. And so God wants us to grow through the season of the valley. No matter what our valley is, God wants us to grow through it, not just go through it. So let's talk about King Jehoshaphat today. King Jehoshaphat, you think your name's bad. How would you like a name like Jehoshaphat? I'm sure none of the kids made fun of him growing up, but I'm just saying. King Jehoshaphat was a great king. He saw a lot of God's favor in his time as a king and ruler of Israel. But the Bible says that one time that three of the enemies of Israel came together. Three, okay, not just one, but three different armies came and they surrounded Israel. And King Jehoshaphat got the news and looked out and they realized there is no way that we can defeat three armies coming against us. And so he says, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to call a prayer meeting. How many think that's a good thing? That's always a great move right away. When you don't know what to do and the things seem like it's in no way out, start praying, right? That should be the way, it should be the first thing we go to. But many times in our life, it's the last thing we do. Many times prayer is the last place we turn to. And the wisdom says, no, I've got to learn to look to the Lord first. And look what happens here. Let's pick it up now in verse 9 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9. And they said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war or a plague or famine, we can come and stand in your presence before the temple. See, he calls everybody together. They all surround outside the temple where your name is honored. And he goes, then we cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us, and you will rescue us. See, it's a thing they had. They knew if they cried out to God, that God would hear them and he would rescue them. So what are the gifts today? Let me ask you this question. What are the gifts of walking in the valley? I want you to write some of these down. Number one, write down the gift of dependence. We learn through the valley this gift of dependence on God. Many of us here have the attitude, I will just do it myself. I will just fix it myself. Any guys relate to that? I can sure relate to that. That I can be a bonehead sometimes and I have that same attitude. How about you, right? Some of you are like, I ain't raising my hand. I'm gonna be a bonehead right now. Are you cutting me? Well, we have this attitude that we can fix it ourselves. We can do it ourselves. And that always leads to burnout. You ever feel burned out spiritually, emotionally, mentally, feeling burned out? It's probably because you're trying to do things on your own way too much. And see, the valley teaches me to change my mindset. The valley teaches me, God, I can't get through this if you don't help me. The valley teaches me that there's another way. The valley reminds me that I'm just small and God's the one in control. The valley teaches me that he is bigger than me. See, the valley drops my mindset and gets me refocused where God wants me to be. Look at verse 6. They says that he prayed, O Lord, the God of our ancestors, that you alone are the God who is in heaven. He goes, you are the ruler. This is the King Jehoshaphat. God, I'm not the king, you are. God, you're the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and you are mighty. No one can stand against you. You see, the king was a mighty man, and he had every reason to boast. He had every reason to be full of pride, but he realized something, that he couldn't do this. That God, you alone are the ruler, that I'm just in charge of what you placed under me. But God, ultimately, you are in charge. God, ultimately, you're in control. And see, when we go through the valley, it reminds me that I'm not in control. God, you're in control. And I've got to give God that control, and I've got to look to God. And you know, this is something that God is wanting all of us to understand in our life. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, oh God, oh our God, won't you stop them? And then they admit something. We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking for you to help. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, there's something powerful about simply just saying, God, I'm powerless. I don't know what to do next. God, I don't know the next decision. God, I don't know the next move. God, I don't know where this answer is going to come from. God, I don't know. I can't do it on my own. But God, I'm looking to you for my help. And this is exactly where God wants us to be. There's a place where God wants us in the valley when we walk through it and we say, all right, I'm in the valley, but I'm going to look up to the mountains. I'm going to look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from you, oh God. You're in control. God, I'm not. God, I don't have the power. You do. I don't know what to do. There's something powerful about admitting that I don't know what to do. Look at this statement. When I get to the end of myself, I unlock the door for God to work in my life. See, when we get to the end of ourselves, God's like, finally, finally. You ever feel like you're just walking in the valley and your valley goes in circles and circles and circles? You feel like you're not ever getting anywhere? Could it be that we haven't come to the end of ourselves yet? Could it be we haven't got to the place where we've given up control to God yet? See, this is exactly where God wants us to be. God, all right, I don't know where to go next. I don't know what to do next. God, you're all powerful. I'm not. God, I'm letting you lead this. God, I'm letting you take control of this. God, I'm putting my faith in you. And God's like, exactly. That's where I want you. And the sooner we learn this, I believe the sooner we can get through the valley. But God will take us around the valley until we finally stop being full of ourselves, full of our own resources. I can fix this. I can do this. And say, no, God, you're in control. No, God, I submit my control to you. Number two, write this down. When we're in the valley, we get the gift and discover God's presence. We discover his presence in such a real way. So he calls a prayer meeting. And while he calls a prayer meeting, someone begins to get a word of prophecy. Let me just tell you this, that this is not an abnormal thing. This should be a normal thing. That when we're praying and we're praying with friends, you should have words of encouragement for each other. Sometimes you ever felt that way? I'm praying and man, I felt like God was telling me something, but I was really nervous about speaking it out. Listen, that's okay. I encourage you. Do that. That's a healthy thing. That's the Spirit of God. And he wants us to encourage each other. He wants us to speak words of affirmation and words of the Holy Spirit over each other. And this is what's happening. They're all living in fear. They're crying out to God. And then someone gets this word and says, listen, hey, let's pick it up. Let's loop what they had to say right here. Verse 15 says, he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. How many know the battle belongs to the Lord, right? He's just speaking over, prophesying. Hey, listen, tomorrow, march out against them, and you will find them coming at the end of the valley. But you will not even need to fight. He goes, take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. He is where? With you. Come on, let's say it. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Come on, let's say it. The Lord is with you. He is with you. He is leading you. He is guiding you. He is around you. He goes before you. He goes behind you. He goes beside you. He lifts you up and carries you. He will sustain you. I'm telling you, God is with you. And when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil because God is with you in every valley. And it's through the valley that I realized the presence of God. You never left me. It's in the valley where you carried me, God. Sometimes you drugged me. Sometimes you lifted me up. But God, I got through the valley, not because of anything I did, but only because the favor of the Lord. He is with me. He is for me. He will not leave me. Come on, someone got a hand clap for this way. It's a gift of going through the valley because I discover the presence of the Lord is real. The presence of the Lord is present in my life, even in my hardest times. He is there. It's in the valley we understand this. God is with us. Look at this equation today. See, when my dependence goes upon the Lord and I discover his presence is always with me, it equals my deliverance, my dependence on God. Plus, God's presence equals my deliverance. How many are thankful that God delivers us? God sustains us. God uses us. You see, if you don't know this, I want to just let you know that throughout the whole Bible, the Bible's been telling us this one common thing is this. God wants to be with every one of us. That's what the whole Bible is doing. It's painting this whole picture of God redeeming his presence to us. Look at this timeline I put out for you, just so you can kind of get an idea of it. See, God was with us. God's presence was there at creation when he breathed life into man. God's presence was there in the garden. He walked with man daily, it says. He walked with man in the garden. And then when Adam and Eve allowed sin to come in, it separated us, the fall, separated us from God. And then God reestablished his presence in the Old Testament temple. He set up the pattern of the Old Testament temple. You had to come in, you had to bring the sacrifice, and his presence was trapped behind the veil, the holies of holies. Only the high priest was allowed in. You had to come in and wash yourself through the baptism of washing your hands and cleansing yourself and bringing the sacrifice of the lamb. But then when Jesus came, he became the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And he died on the cross for our sins. And it says that when he died, that the veil of the temple was ripped, and his presence is now being poured out on you and I. And the New Testament church, we can walk in the presence of God every day. I'm being formed in him. I'm being renewed in him. I'm becoming a new creation. And I'm going to continue this transformation process until a time when the trumpet it's going to blow. And let me tell you today, COVID has no power over me because my time is limited on this earth. I'm telling you, my destination is heaven. My destination is eternity with Jesus. Live your life for eternity, not for a few short seasons. Realizing that I'm going to be transformed. God has been calling me to him, and he's preparing a place. He says, if it was not so, I would have told you, but in my Father's house are many mansions, and he's coming back for you and I again, and we're going to spend it in his presence for eternity without having to worry about COVID, without worrying about the valley. We're going to walk in the blessing 24/7, and we're going to throw our crowns at his feet. We're going to eat and dine with him. We're going to sing his majestic praise all the days of our life. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful time. God's presence has been pulling us all this time, and he wants you to discover it even in the valley. His presence is with me. See, that's the gift of the valley. God, you're with me. God is present to lead me, to guide me. God is present to lift and sustain, to heal and to nurture, to encourage and to empower, to protect and to bless, to bring peace and rest, to give wisdom and provide, to give strength and to help me in my time of need. His presence is with me in the mountaintop, and his presence is with me in the valley. His presence is the gift we discover. And number three, I want you to write this down. The gift of God's victory. We discover his victory, that God brings the victory. Jehoshaphat makes a very strategic move when it comes to war. All right, we got three powerful armies that are waiting to defeat us. There's no way we can defeat them on our own. And he gets direction of the Lord, and he makes this incredible decision to send out the worship team first. Army, we're going to sit back. Warriors, we're going to sit back. Let's send out the worship team first. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, from our natural eyes, this doesn't seem like a very strategic war move, does it? Let's take the guy in the skinny jeans and the girl with the big hat. Let's send them out first to do what battle? This is our war. These are our heroes. They're going out to do battle. And you ever thought about that? Like, what were they going to sing when they get out there? You know, I can imagine, it's the end of the world as we know it. Everybody's talking, it's your death, you're going out there. And maybe they're singing a little, you know, ludicrous, this is a gangster's paradise. Maybe they got a little confidence, they're doing a little, mama said knock you out. I don't know what it was, but what are they singing as they're going out there to do battle against three armies? We actually have the answer. Let's look what this verse says here in verse 21. It says that after consulting the people, the king appointed the singers to walk ahead of the army. Great move, right? Singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. To your family and your children and your children's children. I'm telling you, there is a faithfulness to the Lord. And you can thank. And sometimes you don't even have to have some kind of special, you know, cute prayer. Just say, God, I thank you that your favor is upon me. God, I thank you that your goodness is upon me and my children and my family. No harm is going to come against me. God, you are leading me. You are guiding me. Your love endures forever. They're singing this, and as they begin to sing, something happens. The scripture says that as they begin to sing this, that the three armies, the Holy Spirit comes out there and begins to move, and all of a sudden, the three armies that are out there waiting for them get confused, and they start fighting each other. And they start fighting each other. Can you imagine this big circle out there? I kind of imagine the Three Stooges. You ever seen the Three Stooges fight each other? A three-way, they're hitting, Mo hits Larry, and Larry hits, you know, Mo, and Curly, and all. It's kind of the same thing happening out there. These three guys, these three armies are out there fighting each other, and they're killing each other, and by the time the army gets there, they were all dead. Let me tell you something. The enemy hates it when you praise the Lord. Your enemy hates it. And when you begin to praise the Lord, you allow and you pour out confusion on him. When you begin to sing over your life, the goodness of God, when you sing over your family and you sing over your trouble and you sing during your valley and you sing during your pain and you sing during your tears, the enemy hates that and you confuse the enemy. The enemy begins to kill off and kills itself. They don't know where to run. They don't know where to hide. They can't stand being in the presence of the Lord. And they walk out there and everybody's dead. Didn't have to lift a finger. Just why? Because they obeyed. God, we can't do it without you. God, you are with us. And God, you bring the victory. We're going to declare it in our song. We're going to declare it in our heart. We're going to declare it in the singing. And I love this because this is a blessing that comes. And what happens is simply this, that all these three armies kill themselves and now they got all this leftover army equipment and chariots, weaponry, bronze and silver and gold, all these things they get out there. The whole valley's full of it just for them to pick up. And they start collecting it and taking it back. And I mean, we're not talking about just a little bit. I mean, we have proof here that they spent at least 4 days picking up the leftovers. You're talking about not only defeating the army, but then God begins to bless you when you least expect it. They wasn't thinking this. They just want to survive and get out of it. But not only did they survive and get out of it, but God began to pour into them financially. They got some gain out of this. And look what the scripture says here. I love this in verse 26. On the fourth day, they gathered. See, 4 days, they kept coming to the valley, a blessing, which God has named. Listen, they came on the fourth day. They've been gathering everything up. In the valley of blessing, which God has named that day, because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is called the valley of blessing today. And I love this because it was not called the valley of blessing because of all the things that were there. It was not called the valley of blessing because of all the things they received. It was called the valley of blessing because they released the praise there. Come on. See, we wanna see the blessing. We get our blessing in the things. And now God said, no, your blessing's in the praise. Your blessing's in the praise. You wanna walk in the valley of blessing? Let a praise come out of you. Let a praise come out of you. Let your praise come out. I'm telling you, when you release the praise, something happens in your life. You know, there's no other place in scripture where we see. There's not a mountain of blessing. There's not a desert of blessing. There's not a fields of blessing. There's not a plains of blessing. There's only a valley of blessing. Could your valley be your biggest blessing in disguise? Only if you take the gifts and realize why you're walking through it, that God wants you to grow. He is for you. He is with you. His presence is with you. He is going to bring you the victory, and it rechanges our life. Your valley of trouble can become your valley of blessing. Let's bow our heads this morning. And I just want to ask if you're here today or online and you're listening to this sermon and today's your day, say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I need to submit my life to Jesus. If you're here in this house, I want you just to raise your hand today. Say, Pastor, today's my day. I'm ready to give Jesus my full life. I'm ready to surrender my life to him. If you're online today watching, I want you to do the same thing. Just raise your hand where you're at. Say, Pastor, that's me. God sees you today as you raise your hand. If you raise your hand, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. And from this day forward, I will live for you in Jesus' name. Welcome to the family of the Lord today. Thank you for praying that prayer.